Let us turn to the pericope of Scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. And now these two verses are my text. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we prepare for the Lord's table, we're called to the activity of faith. This constitutes the Apostle Peter's final word to beloved pilgrims. Final, because soon this apostle would find his own death, martyred for the cause of Jesus Christ. Final, because reflecting on what Peter had already written in the previous context, it was necessary now to give one final word of warning and admonition. And so our text begins with those words, therefore, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, what things? Knowing that the Lord Jesus is certainly coming again. And also knowing that before he comes, there's going to be perilous days in which there are those who will seek to lead you astray, away from Christ. So now some warnings. Because the temptation is so great, our enemies are great. You and I who confess the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan seeks to sift us and take us away. The world seeks to have us join them with their amusements and their pleasures. And if that doesn't work, then persecute us. But the worst enemy for you and for me as a believer is that old man of sin within us. It's because of that old man of sin that the pleasures of this sinful world appeal to us at all. So a warning to be led astray. So we have two admonitions that really come to us. First of all, there is the warning, beware lest ye also will fall from your own steadfastness. Second of all, the admonition, grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, how is this accomplished? By growing in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's begin with that first warning. Beware, lest ye also fall from your steadfastness. What does that word steadfastness mean? It means that we have something to stand upon, right? What are we going to stand on when everything is shifting in philosophy around us, in morals? Well, the apostle comes to his beloved pilgrims here and he says, verse 2, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So the idea is that we're going to stand fast on the word of God. And we're going to stand fast, second of all, on the promise of God, verse 4, the promise of Christ coming again. That implies, beloved, that our feet are planted firmly on that word of God, or like a tree where the roots are dug deep down into the soil so that when the winds blow, that tree stands up, doesn't it? Yes, what forces there are, external forces and internal forces, bent on moving you and me from our place and carrying us along. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. This week, examine. Are you standing firm in the word of God? Are you opening it up for yourselves in your devotions? And are you opening up that word of God for your family, you heads of the homes? Are you attending worship service? Not just because it's the duty you're expected to be here, but because there's a hunger in the heart, panting like the deer. You are to call to stand fast. Boys and girls, I want you to picture this in your mind, a big, big rock, huge rock there in the stream bed. And the water is flowing fast because of all the rains we've been having. But while that water is moving swiftly, that rock stands there. It doesn't move. Steadfast. And then what is it to fall from our steadfastness? It implies that we depart from the word of God. It means that we're carried away with the philosophies and the morals of the world that we're living in. It means that instead of being steadfast in our marriages, we think, well, if I'm not so happy there, I'll call it quits and I can start over with someone else. Or we're not steadfast in our idea of marriage, of one man and one woman for life until death parts them. It means that we're carried away with how others of the world date and use sex as a pleasure outside of marriage. And the list can go on and on. We need to stand fast on the word of God. Now you say, but Pastor, I know my 5 points of TULIP, and we believe of the preservation of the saints. Because God preserves us, we will persevere in our faith. Yes. A true child of God can never fall away completely. But a church can. A church can lose the right to be called the Church of Jesus Christ. That is, there is apostasy going on. And instead of hearing the word of God opened up, yes, there are churches in which stories are told. There's dances that are danced and songs that are sung. A good feeling, but no word of God. And God says that I will take the lamp from its stand. It will be removed in the book of Revelation. It is possible for a church institute to fall away from grace. And it is also in the Church of Jesus Christ to be expected, where there is the twofold seed, the elect and the reprobate, the pure the word of God is, there will be that twofold reaction, either of faith and love and obedience, or a hardening of the heart and they leave us. So the warning. A warning because it is possible for you or for me to be carried away for a little while, that is to backslide. Oh, then the Lord comes to his own, thankfully, and either with admonitions or with troubles in their life, draws them once again back to himself. So there is a warning. Beware! Beware! It's a military term. It really means urgency. Guard yourself. It's a word that is spoken to the sentry. Be on your guard because the enemies are out there, and if you don't watch out, you and the rest of the company that you are standing guard for are going to be lost. You will be defeated by the enemy. What a word that is to you who are the heads of a home. Are you a sentry guarding carefully your wife and your children that they are standing fast upon God's word? Are you guarding what they are reading, what the screen times that they have? Is it the same as the time of studying God's word and good commentaries or other Reformed literature? Beware! It's a word that comes to the elders of this church as they guard carefully this flock of Jesus Christ. What enemies are out there? What things are tempting God's people not to be faithful to walk in sin. And if we individually are not aware, that is, on our guard, we will be destroyed. We will be destroyed. Oh, the power of the enemy is great. Boys and girls, how many years has Satan had practice in lying and deceiving and slander? Over 6,000 years he's been doing it. And the devil has not just himself, but he has that whole host of demons, one third of the angels that fell from their glory and honor. And how powerful the world is. And as the days grow darker, even the very freedoms that we are now yet enjoying as churches will be taken away with the Antichrist in the Great Tribulation. And how great is that error it was for the New Testament church to say or to think, eat, drink, be merry, because life just keeps on going. I think the Lord Jesus has forgot all about coming again. Or we're so involved in all of our toys and all of our work and our play that we really don't think much about Christ Jesus coming and coming soon. And when we do not think of Christ Jesus, who has suffered and died, who has risen and is in heaven preparing mansions for us, if we don't think about that, how easy it is then to have those evil results in our life, that we just give our lives for the things of this world, for the pleasures, because we no longer really expect the Lord Jesus to come soon. Not only come soon in the second coming, but hey, beloved, he might come tonight for you or for me. Whether it be sickness, whether it be an accident on the road, are you expectant of the Lord Jesus to come? What a warning. Beware. And that word doesn't come now, first of all, to new converts. It comes to each one of us. It comes from Peter. And if you boys and girls will remember, when Jesus was warning that someone was going to deny him, Peter was so full of himself, he says, even if all the rest of these leave thee, I will never leave thee. You're right, Peter. As the cock crowed twice, he had denied Jesus three times. Peter knows the necessity, the urgency of being aware of the enemy out there and within us. So afraid of ourselves that we're afraid to take a strong stand for Christ, for his word. Are you praying in your homes, not just for the pastor now to, on Sundays, have that prayer, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, but are you each in your homes, in your private and family prayers, praying that? Do you have a great earnestness and expectation and hope when Christ comes again? How important is that warning? Beware! Because it's so easy for the church to become worldly minded. You don't believe me? Pick up some periodicals of other churches. Read what's within them. A lot of social work, making this world a nicer place to live in. Or little stories. It is easy. It is easy for the church as an institute to become worldly minded. concerned about the greening of this world, as if that's really important. You and I need this warning, beware, so that we are alert at our post in our own lives. And you heads of the home, as the head of the home, guarding your home. Beware, lest ye fall from your steadfastness. Notice in the second place then, the admonition, grow in grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow. In order to grow, it presupposes, doesn't it, regeneration. Because we and our children come into this world dead in sin. Totally depraved. There could be no growth. You can take an old fence post or you could take a stick, which is dead. Put it in real rich soil. What's going to happen? It's only going to decompose that much faster, isn't it? But it is a loving little tree. I moved a couple of them by my house and I planted them in new places. And now with spring coming here, I can see the leaves coming on it. So growth has the idea, first of all, that there is life. We are regenerated. And all kinds of urgings and admonitions and appeals for holiness can only be addressed to Christian people, to those who have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within them. But that kind of growth is not a passive kind of thing that we say, okay, Holy Spirit, go ahead, do your thing. Here I sit. But the Holy Spirit makes us active, doesn't he, in our faith? God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we're not passive, but we are very active. Active in our faith, believing firmly the promises, clinging to God's word, filled with hope, praying for the coming of Jesus Christ, a love beating in our hearts. That growth, beloved, is progressive and continual. Not one of us ought to be the same person that we were yesterday or a year ago. I'm not the same person I was 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years ago. There is to be growth, a maturing. The picture of a tree. Roots firmly into the soil planted there, soaking up the nutrients. Tree growing taller and taller, and eventually with the leaves and fruit, so that the birds can find a place to make their nest or fruit for us to eat. We are called to grow in grace. Now, in the Bible, that word grace can have several different meanings. It can be that undeserved favor that we receive from God. But here in this text, it really means grow in beauty. Grow in beauty. What beauty? The beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, as we grow in that beauty, we reflect more and more of the characteristics, the blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is that fruit of the Spirit in our life. Do you remember, boys and girls, when the enemies of Jesus, after Jesus' ascension, when they arrested the apostles, we read in the Bible, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I want to ask this question. Can those that you work with tomorrow, can those that you live around, your neighbors, can they tell any difference in you that you've been in God's house today? Can they say also, yes, I take note that they have been with Christ? By the admonitions, by the warnings, by the promises of God's word, we're being polished as stones. We're being like a potter takes clay, being molded, molded more and more to be Christ-like. The beauty of our God bestowed upon us and worked in us. How beautiful that is. That's the grace of God that was given to us in our regeneration. But that Spirit doesn't say, okay, now I made you alive, now you're on your own. But that same Spirit continues to work in us more and more faith, deeper faith, and a loving obedience, sanctification. What virtues are there of this grace, this beauty in us? There's love. You see, Christianity, our religion, isn't just something up in our heads that we hear for a moment and then we go on in our life. But as we meet Christ Jesus in his word, we're drawn to him. We find him altogether lovely. And hope. We're looking. In all the troubles and trials of this world and the sad morality of this world, Jesus is coming. And we can hear his footsteps. When there are the tornadoes or hurricanes, or there is famine, or there is flood, or there are fires, it's Christ's judgment coming, and he is going to come in person. And if we have that hope within us, God's word says, we purify ourselves even as he is pure or holy. Examine. Do I want to grow in the beauty of Christ Jesus? Do I want that Spirit to dwell in me mightily, that I give myself to Christ Jesus, give myself to him in my work and in my recreation, in my marriage, in every area of life? To grow in grace is to increase in all the virtues of grace, faith, hope, love, the assurance that we are God's children, sons and daughters, the assurance that our sins, though they're many, they've been all washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is that work of sanctification I want to live for Christ Jesus. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Pray. Examine and pray that that Spirit will dwell mightily in you with the Word of God shaping you, polishing you, making you look more and more like your Savior, Jesus Christ. Our faith has to expand. Our love has to become deeper. our hope, lively hope, living for Christ Jesus, and obedience shown day by day. That's the third area that we have to examine, isn't it, this week? Do I desire to live for Christ Jesus a godly life? Oh, may that holiness be worked in us and then be manifested. May our assurance that our sins are forgiven be established. May our sanctification develop and be more evident in our lives. So ask. Ask congregation this week. Ask individuals before you come to the table of the Lord. Am I growing in beauty, the beauty of Christ? Am I steadfast in His Word? That's where those two pictures kind of merge, don't they? I said, first of all, there is a picture. What is it to be steadfast? Like a rock standing there. But now, in the second point, I said, you got to keep on changing. Every day should be changing, growing. Ah, that's where the tree, it stands fast. It doesn't get moved, but it just grows and grows, matures, and shows its shade with its leaves or bears its fruit. Planted in Christ Jesus. And we cannot do that. We cannot do that growing in Christ Jesus if we are listening to false teaching that is going on. False teaching that has also caused others to leave us as churches. You see, beloved, it all depends upon our clinging to the Word of God. That is where our God, our Christ, reveals, sets Himself forth. And isn't He altogether lovely? So those are the two admonitions. But now thirdly, how? How are we going to be steadfast, and how are we going to grow in grace? Well, verse 18 could be translated, but grow in grace by growing in your knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how it takes place. Growing in our knowledge of God's Word. And that is, first of all, an intellectual knowledge, isn't it? Hopefully, young people, when you finished up 12th grade and you graduated and you are out of catechism, hopefully you didn't close all those books and say, okay, I'm over and done with that at least. That's just the beginning. You might say those years in catechism were kind of like our preschool, just the beginning. And then our whole life is the school that follows it, growing in grace by growing in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Growing in our knowledge as He has revealed Himself in His Word. And always asking, when you're having your devotions at home, and maybe you're reading some of those stories of the Old Testament, all those kings that came and went, where's Christ? Well, then those evil kings, no, Christ is not pictured in there. With those evil kings was pictured how badly we need the true King and Savior, Jesus Christ. And whether it be a David or whether it be a Solomon, oh, what a picture we have of Christ Jesus there. Yes, even though David sinned greatly, didn't in his life, and Solomon sinned greatly. So we have a type there, but we're not satisfied with the type. We need to go to the antitype, the fulfillment, and that's Christ Jesus, perfect. Perfect in His work that He came down to earth to do, saving sinners like you and me, building his church, gathering his people from all the nations of the world. What a Savior. And that means it's work. Someone has once said, when you have preaching, it's a kind of a monologue. One person's doing all the work. My work is nothing compared to the work of those who have to listen to me. We have to hear that word of God and say, now, what does that mean for me? How do I apply this to my life? Yes, the pastor can give some general kind of applications, but no, each one of us, as we hear God's word intellectually, we have to ask the question, now, what does this word mean for me? I'm going to go home. How is this word going to strengthen me in this coming week as I fight those temptations and those sins all around me? How can I stand steadfast and firm in my faith? And that is why we have on Sunday, and that's why you're going to come together as a congregation soon again to extend another call. You want a man of God, a preacher, to come here in all humility to be an instrument through whom Christ himself teaches us. But beloved, that growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is not merely an intellectual kind of thing. For there are those who are very learned. They might know many passages of God's word, but they don't know nothing of it in their hearts. One could be a theological giant and not even be a babe in Christ. We not only want to know about Christ, but we want to know him spiritually and personally. Yes, we want to have that dynamic relationship with Christ Jesus. We are all various members of the one body of Christ, and Christ is the head. We want that kind of intimacy in our religion, in our Christianity, that a man and a wife have in their marriage, glued together. Isn't that what you desire? Ask that question. Do I want to be glued to Christ Jesus? Do I want to hear him speak to me in his word, and I am able to respond to him in faith and love and songs and a grateful, obedient life? Notice Peter, by the Holy Spirit, says that we need to grow in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Four different names used for our Christ. Why? It's not a preacher here trying to extend his sermon so that he fulfills a certain amount of time or pages. But the Holy Spirit through Peter is saying we need to grow in our grace by knowing Christ Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. What's the difference between those two words, boys and girls? And each of us examine. Do I love Christ Jesus as my Savior and my Lord? Let me use an illustration. If my house is on fire, I want a fire truck out in front and putting out the fire. But would I really care to look at that fire truck every day in front of my house? I'd say, you know, move along. How many are there that would like Jesus in their life to forgive them their sins? They want Jesus so they can go someday to heaven. But when it comes to Jesus as Lord, which means master, ruler, king, listen, this is my life. I mean, hey, I'll give you Sunday, Lord, but Monday through Saturday? Do you know, oh beloved, do you know Jesus not only as your Savior, but your King, your Master, who tells you how to live for Him, who is shaping you, directing you? That's all by grace. Because I knew as a teenager, I really didn't care to have always dad and mom telling me what to do. I mean, my own person. And sometimes, because of sin within us, we have that too. I want to do my own thing. Grow in your knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus, Jehovah Salvation, Christ, the appointed one by God to save sinners like you and me and to gather us as sons and daughters of God. Let me read those two verses one more time. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, that the Lord Jesus is coming quickly, and knowing how sinful this world and dark this world is going to be, and how many of the wicked are trying to snare you away, beware that you fall not from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now this little part of the text. To Him be the glory both now and forever. It's God's work in us. God working in us that we will and do of His pleasure. We're active, but we're active in our salvation only because Christ is living in us, dwells in our hearts, and we love Him. It's God who has given us that new life. It's God who causes us to grow in His Word. It's God who enables us to produce fruit in our lives for His glory. And so now the glory goes all to Him. No boasting. I can't say, I did this and I did that, I did that. No, the Lord uses me. The Lord works in me, and therefore now I live for Him. May God be glorified. What a doxology this chapter and this whole book of Peter to the beloved. What a doxology. May God be praised by you and me, by our holiness, by our obedience, by our godliness. Those are not old-fashioned words, piety. The heart, and when the heart is burning for the Lord, then a life flows from it. May God bless our examination of ourselves in this week, so we may come to the table of the Lord Jesus and eat and drink Jesus Christ by faith. Amen. Father in heaven, show us. Show us by this sermon this evening by Peter how easy it is to fall away from steadfastness with our thoughts or with our words or our actions, in reality denying Christ. Forgive us. O Lord, make us very aware how urgent it is to watch lest we fall. Those enemies are many in number. We desire to serve Thee from the heart with all of our life. Draw then over and over and over and continually our eyes to Jesus Christ, who came, who suffered and died for our sins, and is risen now in heaven and pouring out all these gifts to us. In In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.